The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 16, verses 35 to 40. It's page 216 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. Amen. As of today, we've been following what Paul did in Philippi in Europe for the 20th week.
2000년 전 본문 속에서 빌립보를 방문했던 바울에 의해서 그 유명한
That famous Philippi church was founded by Paul when he visited Philippi 2000 years ago, as stated in today's text. And the Philippians of the New Testament is the letter that Paul, towards the end of his life, wrote to the believers in Philippi from the underground prison of Rome. In this letter, Paul confesses as follows about himself. It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. "I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." The Jews had to be circumcised within the eighth day after their birth in accordance with the law. That Paul was circumcised within 8 days of his birth meant that his parents were Judaic believers who absolutely followed the law. At the time, there were many Gentiles who had converted to Judaism. But Paul, was born as an Israelite, the chosen people from his birth. Now, Paul belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, and the tribe of Benjamin had produced King Saul, the first king in the history of Israel. And Esther, the queen of Persia, who saved all Jews with the faith of "If I perish, I perish," when Jewish people faced genocide due to Haman's schemes at the time when Persia ruled over Israel, was also from the tribe of Benjamin. When Israel became divided between south and north, the tribe of Benjamin remained loyal to David's dynasty to the very end and protected the sacred city, Jerusalem. Therefore, the Benjaminites were very proud of the fact that they belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was also a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul was born as a Jew of diaspora in Tarsus, which is located to the south of today's Turkey. The descendants of Jewish diaspora who had moved abroad, leaving Israel at the time of its demise, used Greek, which was at the time the common language of the Mediterranean world 2,000 years ago, as their mother tongue. But Paul, who was a Jew of the diaspora, not only spoke Greek, but was able to speak Hebrew perfectly as his mother tongue. So he called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews, who kept up the spirit of the Hebrews in this sense. Furthermore, Paul was a Pharisee in terms of law, and in terms of zeal, he persecuted the church. The Pharisee sect was a sect which was most strict in terms of observing the law within Judaism. Therefore, he became the leader in going after and arresting and imprisoning Christians. He considered that a God-given job. From the perspective of Judaism, who killed Jesus, this poor man from Galilee who called himself a son of God by nailing him to the cross for blasphemy, the Christians who claimed that this Jesus was the Messiah who lived again were nothing more than a group of heretics who were good for nothing. And so Paul took pride in the fact that he was flawless when he came to the law. And this was not all. Paul was a student of Gamaliel, who was the most respected teacher of law in Israel, and he also had the Roman citizenship from the time of his birth, at least externally, looking from outside. It was very unusual to find a Jewish person who had all these qualifications. And if he continued on as he did, there was no doubt that Paul would, when they get to the very top leadership position within Judaic establishment. But Paul's confession in Philippians continues as follows. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Surprisingly, Paul declared that everything that made him proud of himself, every religious and social thing that he could boast of, all of them, he considered them to be garbage. And what was the reason for this? It was because, shockingly, as a result of following after those things that made him proud, he lost the way that he was to go. Now, Paul went on a crusade to arrest Christians of Damascus, which was no less than 213 kilometers away from Jerusalem. And on that very road, he became captivated by the light of the Lord. And with that, he could no longer see. He lost his sight. And so Paul could enter Damascus only by being led by the hand of another person. Now, can we imagine how Paul must have felt, who lost a vision in one instant, unlike those who were born blind? Paul, who had headed to Damascus with confidence, having decorated himself with so many religious and social things he could brag about, to carry out his will, suddenly lost his sight and had to be led by another person. Now, what does this event signify for us? Until then, the life that Paul had led up to that point, the life lived by Paul, who did not even know the direction that he ought to take, was absolutely null and void before God. It means that before God, his life, in which Paul did not see as he ought to have seen with his eyes open, was the same as being dead before God.
것처럼 세상의 자랑거리를 상의 목적으로
By making it a life goal to chase after things worthy of boasting in the world resulted in losing one's life, the loss of the self. And from this perspective, all these things worthy of boasting in the world that Paul had chased were only losses that ate up Paul's life meaninglessly and unworthy garbage. But Paul did not stop there. If he had just stopped with declaring that the things that had made him proud and which he sought after until that time were just garbage, maybe Paul could have become a nihilistic or pessimistic philosopher. But he could have never become the greatest apostle in the history of Christianity. The reason that he thought that the things that he was proud of, which he thought of as being gains for him, were rather his losses, was because he came to know that knowing Christ has surpassing worth. The reason that he lost everything and considered them garbage was to gain Christ and be found in him. And how was this possible? How could Paul, who had lost his vision, suddenly came up on this realization? It became possible because Paul, who had lost his vision on the way to Damascus, became able to see the world again through Ananias. But he was not simply recovering his physical sight. It signified a complete change in his values. If Paul was a bat-blind person who could not see even with his both eyes open, Paul, who regained his sight, was someone who could see beyond what could be seen with eyes to eternal things, a spiritually seeing person. In other words, the meaning of seeing and not seeing had changed completely. Before, Paul was under the delusion that one became saved by one's righteousness and accomplishments. And here was the reason why he tried so hard to establish his righteousness through his things that he could boast about and his zealousness. But like a clay bowl remains a clay bowl, even if you plaster it with gold leaves, Paul realized that no matter how much a person decorates himself with his righteousness, he remained a sinner before God in the light of Jesus Christ. A man who is a sinner could only receive salvation of God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God who died as an offering on the cross to pay for the sins of men in their place. The righteousness of Jesus Christ could not be gained with anything in the world. This righteousness could only be gained by the grace of the Lord. This grace of the Lord could not be compared with anything in this world. In other words, it was a grace, a righteousness that could be gained only by making the Lord one's purpose, passing over everything else in the world. Because Paul understood this fact, Paul confessed that I consider them everything that he considered worthy of boasting as garbage, that he may gain Christ and be found in him. When Paul says, be found in Christ, he means that it is in order for God to find him in Christ. Paul himself is still a sinner who is destined to die, but if he remains in Jesus Christ, who bled as the offering on the cross to pay for his sins, then God, seeing the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, will acknowledge Paul, who is in him, as being righteousness. He precisely understood the essence of the gospel. If so, then we need to think more deeply about the meaning of Paul's confession to be found in Christ. In the eyes of God, Paul, whom God found in Jesus Christ, was somebody like Peter, who was an ignorant fisherman from Galilee, who had nothing to do with Paul, with the former Paul? No, Paul was still Paul. Paul, more than anyone else, knew the law very well. He spoke Hebrew and Greek better than anyone. He was a Hebrew, but at the same time a Roman citizen. He remained the same. Therefore, for Paul to say that he would consider things that he was proud of before and had benefited him as garbage in order to be found in Christ, did that mean that he would live like Peter, but it was a declaration of a resolve to make Jesus Christ as his life's purpose and treat everything that he had been proud of before, and to treat everything that he had been proud of before as a means to be used for the Lord. As a result, because Paul knew the law better than anyone else, as a student of the great teacher of the law, Gamaliel, he was able to explain the relationship between the law and the gospel with perfection. And because he spoke Greek better than anyone else, he was able to record 1/4 of the New Testament, which is recorded in Greek, by himself. And because he spoke Hebrew better than anyone else, he was able to deliver the gospel in Hebrew perfectly to Jews who did not speak Greek. And because he was more learned than anyone else, he was able to speak with the upper class of any city that he went without any difficulty. And this was the same for the Roman citizenship that he inherited from his parents. As we examined before, as soon as daylight came, the magistrates of Philippi, who had ordered the beating and imprisonment of Paul and Silas without a formal trial the day before, sent their subordinates to the prison in order to order the release of Paul and Silas. But when Paul heard this news of their release from the jailer, Paul, far from being joyful, raised an objection. Verse 37. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial. even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out. Now, Paul's objection to the jailer was that they had ordered beatings and imprisonment of himself and Silas, who were Roman citizens in private. And now they wanted to release them privately, but this was in violation of Roman law, an illegal act. And therefore, the persons who had committed these illegal acts should come and release them in person. The magistrates of Philippi, who learned that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, became afraid. To have beaten and imprisoned a Roman citizen without a formal trial was not only an illegal act in violation of Roman law, but it was also an act in contempt of the Roman Empire. So, since they were responsible for these acts, they would not only be criticized by the superiors, but they could also be subjected to a severe punishment, depending on circumstances. So the magistrates came to see Paul and Silas in the underground cell, and they requested Paul and Silas to leave the prison and personally escorted them out of the prison, and they begged that they would leave quietly to their next destination without raising an issue about what they had done. As we confirmed during last week, Paul was unfairly persecuted and suffered insults many times during his mission trip. But it was the first time in Philippi, in today's text, that he protested such treatment by asserting his Roman citizenship. Now, this tells us that Paul, who considered things that were to his gains as garbage, lived without being conscious of his Roman citizenship in the ordinary times. In other words, that Paul objected to the unfair treatment of Philippi magistrates by asserting his Roman citizen was not a reflection of how he usually thought. It was an unexpected occurrence which happened because Paul happened to remember that he was a Roman citizen on that particular day. But as a result of his protest, the magistrates of Philippi came to his underground cell to apologize. And through this event, he confirmed that this Roman citizenship that he had forgotten about, which he regarded as garbage, could actually be a good tool, a matchless means for spreading the gospel of the Lord. To zealous Jews at the time, Paul was the number one public enemy who had to be eliminated. The Jews were born as believers, the followers of Judaism from the time of their birth. And that Paul, who was a Jew, made Judaic followers to convert to Christianity by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ amounted to blasphemy that tried to bring down Judaism from the perspective of the Judaic believers. Therefore, when Paul went up to Jerusalem after his third mission trip, the Jews tried to kill him. They made a big ruckus in order to kill him. Now, the Chiliarch of Jerusalem, who came with his army to ensure security, arrested Paul, who was there, and ordered him to be beaten in order to question him and find out what crime this man committed. So the Jews of Jerusalem were trying to kill him. At that time, Paul revealed that he was a Roman citizen. And the Chiliac, who learned that he was a Roman citizen, gave Paul protection. And when he learned that about 40 of Judaic followers formed an assassination squad to kill Paul, he enlisted 200 foot soldiers, 70 cavalrymen, and 200 spearsmen, and had two centurions escort Paul to Caesarea, where the Roman governor was. In order to protect Paul, a single person, a total of 472 army men were enlisted. When the Jewish leaders came down to Caesarea to press charges against Paul to the governor, Paul appealed to the Roman emperor as a Roman citizen. Now Festus, the Roman governor, who accepted Paul's appeal, ordered Julius, the centurion who belonged to the imperial regiment, to escort Paul to Rome. A Roman officer had to escort Paul, a Roman citizen, over the distance of 2,240 kilometers between Caesarea of Israel to Rome, the capital of Roman Empire. If Paul had not been a Roman citizen entitled to the protection of the Roman Empire, his desire to dedicate his remaining life to Rome would have come to nothing. And as a result, the gospel could not have taken root in the heart of Roman Empire due to Paul. Even before Paul arrived at Rome, even before he got out of Israel territory, he would have been assassinated by the Jewish assassination squad. When Paul made things to brag about in this world as his life purpose, and when he armed himself with these things, the result was that he lost his way. He did not even know the way that he ought to travel. The result was that he lost his life. But the minute he made Jesus Christ, who bled on the cross for him as his life purpose, everything became changed. Everything became sublimated to become valuable tools for the Lord. Now, Paul's life clearly awakens us to how the meaning of what we have changes depending on what or whom we turn to as our life purpose. Now, the founder of Samsung Group, which gave rise to Samsung Electronics, which has become the number one company in the global electronics business, is a former chairman, Mr. Lee Byung-chul. From the time when he was young, his name was synonymous with a wealthy man. When I was little, in other words, during 1950s and 60s, people called him Don Byung-chul Chairman or Money Byung-chul Chairman. His name came to stand as a symbol for money. So when a person showed off because he happened to have a bit of money, people used to cut him down by saying, "Are you a 돈병철?" It meant to imply that no matter how much money he had, he could never come near Mr. Lee. He not only had the most money and was the leader of the largest business group, but was also famous as the collector of the most antiques and artworks. In other words, he did not lack anything in the world. We can't imagine how many things that he had to brag about. But in 1987, a month before he died, he left a page of questionnaire. This questionnaire, which became public last year, was not about money or about managing a business. Now, this questionnaire, which consists of 24 questions, had questions like these. How can you prove the existence of God? Why doesn't God reveal himself clearly? When he wrote this, next to the word God, in a parenthesis, he capitalized G, meaning he wanted to communicate that the God he was talking about was the God of Christianity. It is said that God is the creator of all things, and if so, how could this be proven? If God loves men, why did he give suffering, misfortune, and death? It is said that Jesus died as an atonement for our sins. What are our sins? Why were we left alone to commit sin? How was the Bible put together? How can you prove that the Bible is God's word? How can it be believed that a spirit does not die after a man dies, but goes to heaven or hell? Will the end of the world come? He possessed everything in this world. But when it came to his life, he did not know ultimately where he was headed, where it ought to go, even to the time of a month before his death. All of his questions were questions to which answers could be found in the words of God, who revealed himself through Jesus Christ and who personally answers the questions of men. His questionnaire was delivered to a Catholic priest, but his lung cancer, for which he was treated for 2 years, suddenly took a worse turn, and he died without listening to the answers of the priest. He was 77 years old at the time of his death. Among his questions, there is this question. It says in the Bible that for a rich man to go to heaven is like a camel trying to go through an eye of a needle. Does this mean that a rich man is a bad man? Like any person who regards money as an absolute, it is clear that this Bible verse bothered him. Any person who makes money his purpose of life cannot be a good or righteous person before God, no matter who he or she happens to be. It is because there is no way to have a right relationship with God if you make your money goal, even if you do a lot of charity. But Anyone who makes the possessions he or she has a means for the Lord, although they may be small. Then this person could yet become another Paul. The possession of this person who makes the Lord, who died for him as his purpose, will change and become a tool for eternal truth, like Paul's Roman citizenship. How much possession do you have? How many things do you have that you can boast about? But let's not make them your life purpose. You will only end with the loss of one's own life, a loss of the self. No matter what we happen to possess, let's make them all into a means for the Lord, who is the purpose of our life. It is from then that the value of ourselves and the value of our possessions will change, because God Himself will work through us. Let us pray. The result of Paul making the things of the world as his life purpose was the loss of his life, the loss of the self, on the way to Damascus. Paul had armed himself with the things of the world, considering the worldly things as things to boast about, and he headed to Damascus in order to arrest Christians with confident steps. But he lost his sight on that road, did not know where to go, and could enter Damascus only by being led by the hand of another person. Thank you for making us realize that the foolishness of Paul is our own, our reality. We are but bad blind persons, eyes open, but unable to see what we should actually see. We live busily from morning to late into the night, but we do not know where we are going, how the road we are on will end, and neither do we try to think about it. Thank you for not giving up on us even still, for calling us even today, and opening our eyes with the light of the Holy Spirit. From now, help us to be the spiritually seeing person who can see eternity, which cannot be seen with our eyes. Help us to become persons of genuine faith who makes Jesus Christ, who gave us the grace of salvation through the blood of the cross, the sole master of our life, our sole life purpose, no matter what we happen to possess. Help us to use them solely as the means for the Lord, like Paul, in the same way that Joseph Arimathea, offering the tomb he had prepared for himself to the Lord, and the tomb thereby being sublimated to the starting point of the eternal resurrection. May all things we have, no matter what they are, be sublimated to tools for truth. Therefore, although we may be nothing, may we become the Paul for this age, due to the Lord who works through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.